It's the Kia Season of New Traditions sales event. Red and Kia is celebrating the season with joy, gratitude, and incredible year-end savings. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we're giving a heartfelt thank you to our veterans and the brave men and women of our military. Since 2006, Red and Kia has been your trusted hometown dealership. During our holiday sales event, take home a brand new 2026 Kia Sportage. There's always a military incentive rebate at Red and Kia. Visit us at 418 East Cypress Avenue or anytime at redandkia.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Arturo Fuente, Rare Pink, Happy Ending. Extremely limited and rare, this is a perfecto in every sense of the word. A spicy Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, a Dominican binder, and luscious Nicaraguan Dominican filler. Offer up notes of oak, leather, cocoa, and spice. Proceeds from the sale of this cigar benefit breast cancer research. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This is Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Thanks so much for taking part of your day with us. I find it a great honor. I want you to have fun with this. And this week, I got the honor to have Senator Ted Budd. I bet you don't know a whole lot about him, but he's the freshman senator from the great state of North Carolina, plays an important role, and I look forward to having the discussion with him. You know, I bumped into him, talked to him a few times, happened to know him a little bit, but I've never had him on the podcast. I've never figured out what his perspective is there in the United States Senate, because he certainly plays a pivotal role. And I can tell you this, I know how hard he works. I hear, see, feel things from behind the scenes, and really looking forward to having him give us some insight there. Also, we're going to, get on with the news. And I want to share a little story, but then we're going to highlight the stupid, because as we always like to say, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. And we got two really good ones here, because I'm just telling you, there's no shortage, but these are stories that maybe you haven't heard, but they put a smile on my face. But in the meantime, let's have a conversation about the news, because I got to kick this off by telling a story. When I was a freshman, I had to figure out which committees I wanted to be involved and engaged in. You know, you run your campaign, you don't try to look around the corner, you hope you can win. In my case, I took out a 12-year incumbent Republican, got the nomination, then won the election. Then you take a deep breath and say, oh my goodness, I'm going to Washington, D.C. Now what do I do? You know, it's sort of that. There's a movie called The Candidate, an old movie with Robert Redford, and this is exactly what happens to him. And it's very true. You think, oh, what would I do? Where should I spend my time? And during the campaign, I realized that I believed in fiscal discipline, limited government, accountability, and a strong national defense. And if I could do those four things, adhere to the Constitution, I'd be successful. Well, it was this accountability thing that I didn't feel like Congress was doing really well, and I really gravitated towards. And as I studied it, looked at it, I recognized that Abraham Lincoln had actually served on this oversight committee. It was called something different at the time, but it really provided an opportunity to provide some oversight. So with the way this works is leadership at the time, he wasn't the speaker yet, but you formally call him Speaker Boehner. Now that he's been the speaker. So Boehner, and his staff, he had a guy named Trevor who worked for him. And you're getting there, and now that you've won, you come in for freshman orientation. There's five different training meetings, and I got complaints about that, but for another day. And one of the things you do is you fill out this little form and you put your committee assignment preferences on this form. And so I put on this form oversight, judiciary, natural resources. Being from Utah, natural resources made a lot of sense. Oversight, because I was passionate about that and thought there was great opportunity there, which there was. And then judiciary, because, well, I wasn't an attorney, but man, you look at the jurisdiction that moves to there, I thought, oh, this is the one for me, right? So I put it down there, and it goes to the speaker's office, or the leader's office, and freshmen get to go last. I mean, they populate based on seniority, but And then there's ultimately a steering committee that votes on it. So it's the night before we submitted these papers a week or so, maybe longer before that. And it's the night before. And this is maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I get a call from one of the assistants there to Boehner, Trevor. And he said, all right, let's talk about your committee assignments. And so I told him and I said, look, there's only two. That I really don't, because he asked me, are there any two you don't want? I said, honestly, I don't, really don't want science and technology, because I don't know, that based on my grades in high school and in college, maybe that's not the best fit for me. I'm hoping that somebody is smarter than me on the science front. And then the other one is small business. Now, love small business, pivotal to our country, but in terms of jurisdiction, had like little to none. And so not a lot of people gravitated to small business, even though it is, I could see why they created the committee. They just didn't give it any jurisdiction that was any, had made any sense. So I said, those are the two committees I didn't want. Well, Trevor called me and he said, Jason, I'm really sorry, but we've gone through your list here and just wanted to let you know that you're not going to get three committees. You're only going to get two, and they're going to be science and technology and small business. And I couldn't believe it. I took a deep breath and I said, Trevor, I said, I understand that John Boehner does not know who I am. I'd never met the man. And he certainly didn't help me with my campaign. And I said, look, I will work hard. I will work smart. I will earn a reputation around this town, and I will do anything and everything I can to demonstrate that I am worthy of being on oversight, judiciary, and natural resources. So I will buck it up. And if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Darn it. But I will be the very best congressman that you can possibly be. It's like, okay, fair enough. Well, about 4 hours goes by. Now it's getting late, right? It's like 10 o'clock at night. Phone rings. It's Trevor. Trevor calls back and says, Jason, congratulations. You have oversight, judiciary, and natural resources. I said, Trevor, that's awesome. What happened? He said, oh, that's just John Boehner. He wanted to figure out what kind of ass you were. He wanted to figure out if, you know, you were going to call somebody, cry, complain, be one of those guys that every time they didn't get their way, they did something to make the leader's life difficult. But I didn't. So I passed the test. I got the committees and we were off to the races. That's a story from the halls of Congress I don't think I've shared before, but it was pretty funny. Interesting way to do some leadership. And then we got along pretty well after that, even though we disagreed on some things, to say the least. But that leads me to this next story. I think the big story of the week, and it's not something that's going to go away. One of the headlines on FoxNews.com this week is Minnesota law enforcement exodus grows as fraud scandal drains hundreds of millions of dollars from the state. So you hopefully have heard the story about how much fraudulent money, I mean, we're talking by the hundreds of millions of dollars, allegedly went out the door on these fraud schemes with healthcare and whatnot. But the story I want to highlight is where that money didn't go to. First of all, it didn't go to needy recipients. And I find the irony, particularly from Democrats, but those that plead and say, oh, we're for the downtrodden. We're for the people who need the money the most. We look out for the little man, the little family. Like, no, you don't. If you're willing to allow that much waste, fraud, and abuse, I mean, the Attorney General, Keith Ellison, who is the Attorney General of Minnesota, when asked, would you have done anything differently now that they've illuminated the problem? He said, no. No? That's your answer? No, they wouldn't have done anything differently? My goodness. Okay, so the people who are deserving and need the safety net, they weren't getting the resources. But here's the other thing. If you're law enforcement in one of these deep blue states, if you're not cooperating with ICE, if you have a policy where no cash bail is needed, you go out, risk your life to make an arrest because somebody allegedly had committed a crime, they get their day in court, but you go out and do that, and then that person is back out on the streets sometimes minutes later or an hour or two later. Do you know how demoralizing that is? And then to see all this money flowing out the door that isn't going to you, your family, You just don't feel the love. You don't feel the support. And then you say, oh, we're not going to cooperate with ICE. So they may have the most hideous criminal in their grasp. Somebody who's accused of something really serious. Think of something nefarious and serious. Only to have that person sneak out the back door and not be told that, you know, hey, they're here illegally. That is so fundamentally wrong. So what happens? Now you've got this exodus, and I think it's more than Minnesota. My guess is this has been happening in Seattle and New York, certainly in Washington, D.C. You know, they were short some 500 police officers. And then what happens? You get a rookie who somehow joins the force, but they don't have the experience, and that's your backup? Somebody who's been out, you know, in the field for 4 weeks? That's really hard to deal with, and people think, you know what? I'm done with this. Or I'm going to another jurisdiction. I'm going to somewhere who appreciates me. I'm going to somewhere like Florida or something like that. That's what happens. That's the big story. That's the thing that a lot of families are dealing with. You got men and women who put their lives on the line. They're not paid and compensated nearly enough for the job that they do. And then what happens? They get jerked around. And that just isn't right. All right, time for the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. Oh, we got a good list here today. I reviewed this before we start, and it's hard not to laugh and smile at these. Story number one. This comes from the Associated Press down in Bishopville, South Carolina. I know South Carolina. I love South Carolina. I can't tell you where Bishopville is. Maybe I'm supposed to. Probably bigger than I think it is. But here's the headline. Drone drops steak and crab legs for prisoner feast. But South Carolina guards find it first. Somebody took a drone, decided to put steak and crab on this drone and drop it into the yard so that prisoners could pick it up. Here's the way this story starts. 'Twas 3 weeks before Christmas, and in the prison yard, a drone drop package was found by a guard. Steak, weed, and crab legs, and cigarettes for days. They kind of forgot the weed and the cigarettes in there. God, it wasn't a gun. I mean, if they could drop drones in the yard, thank goodness somebody was actually paying attention, but oh my goodness. All right, story number two. Here's the headline, again from the Associated Press, Santa Ana, California. California man marks his 15,000th spin on Disneyland's Cars ride. Now, I've been to Disneyland. I like Disneyland. I've been on the Cars ride. Usually the hour, you got to wait like an hour to get on the Cars ride, unless you got like the Fast Pass or Lightning Pass or whatever they're calling it these days. Somehow this dude went 15,000 times. How does that happen? No wonder the line's so long. You got somebody taking up a car. Don't you get dizzy? You got those whoop-de-doos in your stomach? John Allen Hale said he was eager to try out the Radiator Springs Racers ride at Disney's California Adventure after undergoing gastric bypass and knee replacement surgeries in 2010 and 2011. He quickly found himself hooked on the ride, which debuted in 2012, and he began tracking his races in a notebook, jotting down the car's colors, lane, and whether he wins or loses. Oh, we got to get him a little bit more. I wish it had. Here's what he said. Hale said he visited the Anaheim Resort, known as the happiest place on earth, more than 1,100 times, and said he's taken a ride on average 13 times per visit. That's all he's got to do is go in there, get in line. Oh my gosh! So that's the stupid.
More Jason in the House next.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, ethos.com/Mike.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plan starts at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau, call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1983. President Ronald Reagan.
While they preach the supremacy of the state, declare its omnipotence over individual man, and predict its eventual domination of all peoples on the earth, they are the focus of evil in the modern world.
To ignore the great majority of the American public who enjoys rock music is just pure stupidity.
We had a good deploy, and the sunshield's closing now. We'll be with you in a minute.
That's great, Sally.
Our immediate challenge to this atrocity is to ensure that we make the skies safer and that we seek just compensation for the families of those who were killed.
Never again should a black or Hispanic or woman or Jew, because of race, religion, or sex, be limited or inhibited as we grow. The aristocracy is not the limit. The sky is the limit. Our time has come.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
An officer from Tennessee who responded to a call about a dog on the loose and ended up sharing his lunch with him makes today's Dean's List. Officer Samuel Lopez found the dog injured and lying on the side of the road. He was frightened and unable to walk. But instead of calling animal control, Officer Lopez stayed with the pup for 2 hours, sharing his food and giving him water from his bottle. A simple act of kindness, but one that means so much. Video of Officer Lopez comforting the dog until help arrived was posted online with the caption, "This is what public service looks like. Empathy, patience, and heart." Samuel says for him, dogs are family. He and his wife were unable to have children, so animals have filled that important place in their lives. Staying with that dog was what he knew he had to do until the vet took over. A pure act of love. Officer Samuel Lopez, you made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. Flu season is here, and doctors are warning parents to keep an eye out for other viruses. Kristen Barrett, a pediatrician with Cleveland Clinic, says parents should be aware of respiratory syncytial virus, also known as RSV. She says it infects the lower respiratory tract, including the lungs and bronchioles, and that RSV is highly contagious, usually spread through respiratory droplets or direct contact with someone who's sick. The virus puts babies and children under age 2 in danger if they're infected. Symptoms include a runny nose, congestion, coughing, sneezing, fever, wheezing, and in severe cases, difficulty breathing. To limit the risk of catching RSV, Barrett suggests parents wash their children's hands, sanitize surfaces, and keep them away from anyone who's sick. Immunizations are also available for babies and certain children. Barrett notes if a child does get sick with RSV, they can typically recover at home. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
Now it's time to bring in Senator Ted Budd from the great state of North Carolina.
Senator, thank you so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. Appreciate it.
Jason, always great to be with you. Love seeing you in D.C. Great to be with you on the podcast.
Well, I'm looking forward to chatting with you because, look, I know you're a little bit in the House, and then, you know, you've been in the Senate. I bump into you in the halls every once in a while. I go to D.C. Every once in a while. But I'm glad to chat with you.
Well, glad to be on. I think we overlapped for, what, maybe 2 years here, and then we've seen each other every year since. So look forward to the discussion.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm fascinated by people who achieve extraordinary things. And, you know, to be a senator from North Carolina, that's quite an achievement. So a lot of people want to do it. Not many people get to do it. So I just want to hear more about your story and how you got there and what, you know, what led you to this. Because there had to be that time, that day where you said, you know, I think I'm going to run for office. I think I want to destroy my life and run for office.
You ran for office. You know, it's a tough deal. It's a slog to get here. But you have those folks that, you know, when they were like 6 years old, they dreamed of being in office and they wore a three-piece suit way too early in life. And that was not me. You know, I was either in sports or working on cars. You know, I grew up on a farm in rural North Carolina outside of Winston-Salem. A little bit of both. Had, you know, my family had a growing business in town. It was janitorial supplies, landscaping, so service work for the local businesses. We would help take care of facilities and schools and college campuses. And, but we had a farm that I grew up on outside of town. So a little bit of both. And, you know, it kind of set me up for what I'm able to do now, sort of understand all types of people.
So being a little kid, you're there in North Carolina. Brothers, sisters, were you playing? You sounds like you're probably playing sports. Were you hunting? I mean, what was life like when you were a little squirt?
Yeah, all the above. So I was born in Winston-Salem, and by the time we were 4 years old, we had moved to our what's now a family farm 50 years later, out in rural Davie County. Two older brothers, and you know, I guess the farm was just a great place to grow up. I've raised, Amy Kate and I have raised our kids there. And, you know, you're not too far from the town of Winston-Salem, which is really the heart of tobacco country back in the day. So, you know, the city kids, you knew the rural kids, and they were all my friends. But, yeah, you know, grew up playing high school football, and I wasn't sports were not my main thing. I'd rather be working on cars and, you know, out in the woods. But did play sports and, you know, had friends across the whole spectrum of life.
When you so you're going along, you go to high school, and then life starts to get more real when you're in high school because you think, yeah, at some point I'm actually going to leave home, and I'm going to go do something. So where did that take you?
Yeah, so you know, things come back to you when you connect with your old high school friends, and you know, one of my friends was in my wedding. We went to high school together, and you know, he's great. He has a tile business. He lays tile in you know, kitchens and bathrooms, and we were hanging out a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Ted, I remember in high school you said that you were going to run for office," and I was like, "I have no recollection of that." So I say it ain't so, but you know, here we are. But what a privilege to be able to do these roles.
But now, did you ever run for office when you were like in grade school or high school or anything like that?
You know, you're interested in it, and just kind of having a family business growing in town, you get to know the local, you know, town leaders, and eventually you have some of your parents' friends that end up running for office, and you're interested, and you volunteer on campaigns, that's state house, state senate, and eventually Congress. So you start knowing some of these people later in life. It's sort of serendipitous, but you're never like, I have to do this later on. I'm like, well, you know, growing up in church, and for me as a Christian, and I go, well, if the Lord wants this, then so be it. And I think kind of looking back, you realize you kind of were getting prepared for things, but you don't always know where that's going to lead. So you can see things in the rearview mirror sometimes a lot more clearly than you can see looking ahead in life. And for politics, that's sort of the story. It makes sense looking back, but, you know, when you're in high school, college, you know, and even, you know, early married life, you're going like, I didn't know I was going to end up here. But it makes sense looking back.
You're listening to Jason in the House. Stay with us. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Senator Ted Budd.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part of the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 6 42.
Everybody calls us.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights, open November 21st through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay in Redding, California. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights, plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, and more. New for 2025, upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express, adorned with festive lights and wintry displays. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
Stay informed with our county's most reliable news. Tune to KCNR every Monday at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief provides precise, local-only updates and compelling discussions critical to our community. Have a lead? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or reach out via socials at townhallbrief on linktree.com to send a DM. The Town Hall Brief, the authoritative source for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
The holidays are here, and that means family, friends, and heartwarming homemade flavors. Celebrate the season at Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection, crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room. With bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. While they play, you can relax with happy hour daily from 3 to 6, or pour your favorite brew from our self-serve beer wall featuring dozens of local and craft options. And don't forget the perfect stocking stuffer. Buy a $50 Charlu's gift card and get an extra $10 free. The gift of homemade flavor, family fun, and unforgettable memories. Visit charlus.com for details or stop by on Highway 273 in Anderson. Charlu's Tap House, where good times, great flavor and family traditions come together for the holidays.
When you need a workers' compensation attorney, the only thing worse than no attorney is a bad attorney. Consider speaking with more than one attorney before you decide who you want to represent you. You should be interviewing the actual attorney, not just their staff. An extra couple of weeks in selecting the right attorney for you could have lifelong impact. We hope you will try Gorman Law. There is never any pressure, and consultations are always free. Call us at 530-262-2168 or schedule online at GormanComp.com.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
is Jason in the house.
You know, a lot of young people say, oh, I want to get involved in politics and what can I do and what should I do? And I said, well, the most important thing, you know, I'm talking like somebody who's a senior in high school or maybe, you know, freshman, sophomore in college. And they say, what's the most important thing I should do? I said, the most important thing to do is not do politics. Quite frankly, you need to get out and have some life experience, because then that life experience, you can bring something to the table. If you've never run a business, worked for a business, been engaged and involved with families and budgets and everything else, then, you know, you have little to none to offer on how to manage a $4 trillion budget and all the different nuances of public policy. And I found the House and the Senate too, obviously, but I think the brilliance of our founders was that they envisioned this wide diaspora of people across the country from, a cross section of America that would come together to make these decisions. And that's what we have now.
You know, you mentioned $4 trillion budget. I wish you and I both wish it was $4 trillion now.
Got to update my numbers.
The main point is...
The good old days?
Yeah, the good old days. We're talking yesteryear. I think you're spot on. It's go do something else and be really good at it, and then come back later on when you have some experience under your belt so that you can bring that value. I mean, you were here. You know people's experience. You've got people that were doctors, people that were plumbers, people that built houses, engineers, accountants. You've got all sorts of folks, nurses, that have had a whole range of experiences. And now they stepped up, whether it was at a local level. I ran for Congress the first time I ran for anything. It wasn't county commissioner. I was expecting this. You run for county commissioner and then state house, state senate, and right. You run for Congress. And lo and behold, you end up in the U.S. Senate. I ran for Congress on a redraw. So I went and voted for, and you and I know and love and Virginia Fox. I voted for her in a primary in 2016. And then the state threw out, because of redistricting, that part of the ballot.
Oh, that's right. I remember this now.
Yeah, in 20, you know, we do that every couple of months in North Carolina, as we have to have a redraw. But that happened to me, and then I put my name on the ballot. And then, you know, I had a friend that said, hey, look, this will be easy. Five people will run. You can win. And then I went and signed up. I remember it was Good Friday 2016. And then the next day, Saturday, the Saturday before Easter, I looked at the paper, back when we still opened papers, to see who had signed up. And 17 Republicans had signed up. I was like, oh, no, this is awful. This is awful. And it's like, you give me horrible advice. I've got to run against all these experienced people, 17 of them. But lo and behold, we built a team. And that's another thing you got to learn, is how to work with people and build teams in these jobs. But we built a team. We ended up winning the primary. And then on to the general. So I was in Congress as my first elected position.
You know, it's interesting because I had a somewhat similar story, because when I first decided, I had been the chief of staff to the governor, Governor Huntsman here in Utah. And then I decided, hey, I'm going to run for Congress, but it was against a 12-year incumbent Republican. But I thought if I went mano a mano, I could make the case and prevail. And then it got to be, the final day of registration, and had the similar experience. And Mike Leavitt was a very popular governor of Utah. He was Secretary of Health and Human Services for President Bush. And his brother put in, and his last name is Leavitt, which is a very popular, well-known, good connotation here in Utah. And I thought, oh my gosh, that was not part of the plan. Nobody else was supposed to do what I'm doing. But it turned out fortuitous. I ended up winning and look back and say, oh yeah, that was not a sure thing. It was not easy. And I feel very blessed and fortunate that I was able to prevail. But you're right. Inevitably, you run for these seats. The bigger they are, the more people want to do them. And then they jump in. What do you attribute your success to? 17 people. I mean, and you hadn't been a high profile county commissioner or sheriff or something like that. Why do you think you prevailed?
Yeah, there's first of all, it was the moment that I stepped into. So let's say things outside of me. Yeah, we built a great team. We raised money. We had wonderful folks come in and support. So we did build a coalition, and that's not just the physical work of a campaign and door knocking and the folks that wanted to generously contribute to the campaign. But also, let's think about what was going on in 2016. You have an outsider running for office, businessman, never run for office before. And so that's President Trump on a national stage. So that's what people were looking for. We didn't know it at the time, but we would by November when he won and beat Hillary Clinton. But on a local level, I was an outsider, never run for office before, and a business person. So all those things were happening on a small scale with me that were happening on a large scale with President Trump. My style is very different than he is. We believe a lot of similar things. But they were looking for somebody that was an outsider, and that was me. An outsider that had, you know, as you and I talked about a few minutes ago, that outside experience, you weren't the lifetime politician, and you brought something to the table from outside of politics.
Yeah, I think there's a prevailing feeling that people, they want somebody who works hard, works smart, person of integrity, but who also gets in, serves, and then probably gets out. Because I think these days of staying, you know, in perpetuity for decades on end, even if they're as popular as a Strom Thurmond, that I don't know that that's a you can replicate that model in the future. I just think it's a different model in today's day and age, and social media, and every word, and every video, and fake videos, and everything else. What's now that you're in? You've been in the House. Now you're United States Senator. What would you tell people is different than how you anticipated, and what should they know about what it's actually like?
So in the U.S. Senate compared to the House, but I loved my time in the House. And, you know, people make fun, oh, you're now in the House of Lords and all this. But I would say, you know, look, I loved the 3 terms that I spent over on the other side of the Capitol. Stay in touch with friends over there. They come over here, I come over there. We got a great delegation from North Carolina. But in a 3-year term, you tend to think long term. And you can really feel the brilliance of the founding fathers, because people say, aren't you glad that you don't have to run every 2 years? And I go, well, you know, I miss that. Because what they want you to do is to stay, what the founding fathers wanted you to do is to keep your finger on the pulse of the population, and you ebb and flow with what they are sensing. So that is more the true sense of the democracy. And the republic side, the representative democracy, which is more of a cushion and a shock absorber from the fluctuations of the popular trends, is the Senate. George Washington had a way of describing that as a teacup boiling over onto the saucer, and it cools in the saucer, and the saucer is the Senate, the cup is the House. But you can feel the long-term view that they want you to have here, that you're not subject to every shockwave and trend of society. But you still have to be sensitive to it. You are still accountable to the people. I try to keep the habits of the House. I am not running every 2 years by constitution, but I feel like I am. I still visit all 100 counties in North Carolina, every Congress, every 2-year Congress. You pay attention for what's going on, what people are sensing and feeling. So I try not to lose the muscle memory that you had and I had in the House, you know, even though our terms are 6 years, because you don't want folks to think, well, I haven't seen this person in 5 years and now they're showing up to get me to elect them. I just want to say, you know, hey, look, I've been here the whole time. You've had access to me. I've come and seen you. And I want them to feel that I was there the whole time. And if I'm worthwhile, they'll elect me again.
More Jason in the House next.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Attention retirement savers. A major U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 25 recession risks just increased significantly. And a billionaire investor warns of a more serious global breakdown. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to the award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD to find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. Help protect what you've worked so hard for before it's too late. Call 855-969-GOLD. That's 855-969-GOLD. You should always consult with your financial and tax professional.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
The Bible promises that God is close to the brokenhearted, that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Well, many say it is because churches need to minister more to the souls sitting in the pews. Author and evangelist Nick Vujicic.
A lot of us are not really having an honest audit, check, and inventory of even just the brokenhearted within the four walls of the church, let alone trying to save the lost.
For 20 years, Vujicic has ministered to those in pain, knowing what it feels like to be angry with God over life circumstances. Born with no arms or legs, he almost committed suicide as a child, but the grace of God intervened. His book, Champions for the Brokenhearted, shows how to have faith in God's purpose and plan.
That's the epiphany, the revelation of realizing, I don't need to know the plan, I just need to believe that he has one.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
This is Fox on Justice. Victims' lawyers argue failures, even negligence, in response to a fire that started around midnight on New Year's Eve make the city and state of California financially liable for billions in losses because that fire contributed to another that ignited a week later. The lawsuit alleges cell phone video captured by a hiker on January 2nd shows the ground smoldering. Firefighters thought they put that fire out the day before. But attorney Trey Robertson says because the state parks department failed to inspect the location where the fire started with thermal imaging and mop-up crews, those embers reignited and became the Palisades fire on January 7th.
There's no evidence that a single state employee did their job, followed their own policy manual, inspected that area where the fire was, knew that these devastating winds were coming.
California Governor Gavin Newsom rejects that claim, saying responsibility lies solely with a 29-year-old man who's been federally charged with setting the initial fire. William Margenes, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
Political violence has become very real. I don't need to explain it to you or everybody that's listening here. How's that changing the way you were able to do things even just a few years ago?
Yeah, first of all, my heart breaks for, you know, Charlie Kirk, and I know you were, that was in Utah. I know you were there on site, and I knew Charlie, and man, you know, I think that's woken a lot of folks up to how serious that words matter. And I am not a flamethrower. I'm deeply conservative in principle in how I look at things, but I don't like, you know, setting things on fire. And you're cautious in how you approach things. And when it comes to Charlie, you know, he didn't need it. He would very much engage in dialogue. And the things that the left would accuse him of, you went back and you tried to find it. It actually wasn't there. So, I mean, he was great at engaging people that had opposing worldviews. So I think we still need to engage and realize that there's a consequence to stepping up. You know, we're all more vulnerable if you're in the public eye.
Sure.
But And you can't be protected 360 degrees all times 24/7. You have to be accessible. You can't be overly insulated. So it's a risk. Yes, you take precautions, and you also kind of just watch and you think twice about how you say things. But you don't be, you know, we're not intended. Lord does not want us to live within a spirit of fear and timidity. I think we need to live in truth and go out and speak truth, but do it in a spirit of love as well, and then just see where that leads. But there are no guarantees in life. There's wisdom in how we do things, but there's no guarantees.
Yeah, it's too bad, because I think for a lot of people, the traditional town hall, come in, hey, you know, come up, speak your mind. You disagree? Hey, that's fine, but do so with without the rancor and the showmanship that is, it seems like, you know, built for a YouTube moment as opposed to an actual dialogue. And, you know, there's nothing more American than getting out and protesting and being able to express your grievances to your representative. But what's your take on how social media has changed things? And let me give you one more example. I remember being in the House, and, you know, I was elected in 2008. So I was there from 2009 on, and it took a few years. But then near the end of the time that I was there in the House, it is amazing. Like, I was on the House Judiciary Committee, and near the end, I remember some of the people would go to give their speech or ask questions, and a staff member would jump up in front of them, right in front of the whole dais there, and hold up a camera so they could capture it to post it on social media. That never happened before. Like, oh, if I don't get this on video, not just C-SPAN, if I don't get this on my camera, I can't put it up on Instagram or Facebook or, you know, X or whatever your social media of choice is. But my goodness, it seemed more performative than it did actually questioning a witness before the you know, the panel.
You know, we've seen a lot of changes. If you think about the technological timeline, Facebook, I think that was founded in 2004. The iPhone came out in 2007. The merger of social media with, you know, your Facebook Meta type plus your, you know, the iPhone, which when you got elected would have been around 2 years. You were probably on version two, probably when you came into into office. And you know, when you look at society outside of politics, you think about when self-harm happens, especially with young women, young men, like in their teens. That really happened when the iPhone was introduced. Now, it's an amazing tool for good, but it's a two-edged sword. Because people start becoming much more self-conscious, and you know, the whole life of someone was exposed online, and then you know, they could be ashamed, they could be elevated. It's an incredible tool. So we live in a world where technologically influenced. For example, like last night, and you mentioned town halls, and we love those, and I've done several town halls. I've been screamed at for hours. It was not very productive, you know, people laying on the floor and chanting, and they're like, oh, come on. But what I want to really communicate with the constituents around North Carolina, so we use, and you probably did this, is telephone town halls. Yeah. And I called the whole state, left voicemails on people's phones saying, hey, here's how to get in touch with me if I can help you. But we had a great discussion for an hour, taking questions. And I just think, and people that agreed with me, people that didn't agree with me. And, you know, so there's a way to use technology for good and to reach a lot of people. So we just have to be very responsible for, one, how we consume it, and that's everyone. And for those of us that put content out there, for the type of content that that we do put online. Because we can look for clicks, and there's temptation for that. If you're in elected office, if you're on in the media, you know, you're doing a great job with Fox, and you've got to have ratings. But how do you get that, and how do you be interesting and yet not inflammatory at the same time?
Yeah, and that's where people, and this is why I think you've been so successful, is that you've got to elevate your game. You actually have to know, do your homework and know what you're talking about, and then have something of substance. And ultimately, I think people will gravitate to those who are, you know, the true representative, the true senator who can distill everything that's coming from all different sides there in a big state like North Carolina, and then be able to represent them in a way that they may disagree with you, but they understand that you've heard them and that you understand them and that this is your position. I really do believe that integrity and that authenticity ultimately wins the day, because, like I said, people can disagree with you, but if they feel like they've been heard and they find some other places where they do agree with you, then, you know, you're going to be successful for a long time. And I think that's why you rose to the top of the heap there in North Carolina.
Well, thank you. And, you know, you never know. These roles aren't forever. One, you can age out of them. You can decide to run, but North Carolina decide not to elect you. But you just want to go out and create value. And, you know, you talk about authenticity and integrity. I remember what a pastor once said. He said, if your output exceeds your input, then your upkeep becomes your downfall. And that, you know, you're running really hard in these jobs. And I hope people outside of these jobs recognize just the rigor that they take. They are not luxurious. They might look moments of, you know, wearing a tuxedo and going to a fancy ball, but that is not the trend. But it is a grind. And across the political spectrum, everybody's working hard, sometimes right ideas, sometimes bad ideas. And I hope my ideas are great ideas. But if you don't spend time with your family, if you don't spend those quiet moments just to think and keep your head clear, you know, and grounded in right things, then your upkeep will become your downfall and you wear out or you burn out. But then you're no good to anybody. So I want to be valuable for as long as, you know, my family would allow and the Lord would allow me to be in these roles. And then, it's time to go on and do something else afterwards. But I'm just honored that North Carolinians would have me and allow me to do this job.
Senator Ted Budd, thanks so much for joining us on the Jason Ellis podcast. Appreciate your taking the time and for serving in the country, and wish you all the best and the merriest of Christmases. And thank you so much for joining us.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Look forward to seeing you in person back here in D.C. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Can't thank the good senator enough for joining us. Pleasure to have his time with, spending some time with us, getting to know him a little bit better, what he prioritizes. Hoping you can rate this podcast, hoping you can subscribe to it. We only put it out once a week, right? So I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. So rate it, sign up for it. And then we'll be back with more stupid, more stories, and more interviews. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have the happiest of holidays. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number, and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump is putting ISIS on notice. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
The president has announced what he's calling a very serious retaliation campaign against ISIS strongholds in Syria. Writing on his social media platform, he warned terrorists who attack Americans that you will be hit harder than you have ever been hit before. His comments came as the Pentagon launched dozens of military strikes against the Islamic State following last weekend's ambush killings of three Americans in Syria. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Americans cite health care concerns atop a new AP NORC poll.
About 4 in 10 said health care or health-related issues, which is up from 33% last year. And Americans are still focused on immigration. 44% mentioned that as an issue for government to focus on, which is roughly in line with last year. The issue that keeps coming up, just cost of living and inflation. About one-third of U.S. adults mentioned that as something for government to prioritize in 2026.
Correspondent Lindsay Sanders. Thousands of mourners gathered at Sydney's Bondi Beach this morning to mark a week since two gunmen targeted a Jewish festival there, killing 15 people. The attack has spurred regional Australian governments to act against anti-Semitism and tighten gun controls. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and other dignitaries attended the commemoration, which drew over 10,000 people. Authorities report 9 are dead and at least 10 other people are injured after a shooting at a South African pub. The incident occurred in the early hours of this morning in Burkstyle, west of Johannesburg. Police say about 12 suspects in a white minibus and a silver sedan opened fire at the tavern and continued shooting as they fled. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-366-6161. That's 800-366-6161. 800-366-6161.
The Kremlin envoy says peace talks on a U.S. proposed plan to end the nearly four-year-old war in Ukraine are proceeding constructively in Florida this weekend. The Ukrainian president says they're moving quickly. The talks are part of the Trump administration's push for peace. Yesterday, Kirill Dmitriev told reporters the discussions, quote, began earlier and will continue. President Trump's envoy Steve Witkoff and Mr. Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner have been meeting with Dmitriev in Miami. TikTok has signed a deal to form a new U.S. unit with three American investors, Oracle, Silver Lake, and MGX, holding a majority stake. This ensures the popular social video platform can continue operating in this country. The deal is expected to close on January 22nd, according to an internal memo seen by the AP. The CEO says that ByteDance and TikTok have both signed binding agreements. News on analysis at townhall.com. Long-awaited federal recognition for a Native American tribe.
A celebration in North Carolina as the Lumbee tribe has won federal recognition. Congress had considered the issue for more than 30 years, but the effort gained momentum after President Donald Trump endorsed the tribe on the campaign trail last year. John Oxendine says it's been a long time coming.
All my life I've felt the sorrows and hurt from not being fully federally recognized.
Recognition means the Lumbee tribe will have access to new streams of federal money and grants, as well as to resources such as the Indian Health Service. Recognition was attached to the 2026 National Defense Authorization Act, which passed in the Senate on Wednesday. I'm Donna Water.
Today is Sunday, December the 21st, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including Tennis Hall of Famer Chris Everett. She is 71. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Out here, Christmas isn't found in bright lights or fancy gifts. It's in the hands that help, the hearts that give, and the neighbors who always show up when it matters most. At Grange Co-op, we're more than a store. We're a family of farmers, friends, and believers who never stop hoping for a better tomorrow. This season, let's gather close and celebrate what truly matters. Love, community, and the magic of being together. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from Grange Co-op.
It's holiday chaos at its finest. It's Have Yourself a Crazy Little Christmas by Colin Andrew Lonis and directed by Maureen Sanders and Rhonda Albee. The tree isn't the only thing getting lit, and the family chaos makes fruitcake look stable. It's a festive fiasco of miscommunication, mischief, and merry mayhem. Perfect for anyone who thinks their own Christmas is a disaster. Running December 5th through 21st at the Riverfront Playhouse in downtown Reading. Sponsored by this station and these other pro-arts businesses.
Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
You took no action. You let the disease spread. And the result is the horrific attacks on Jews we saw today.
This is a globalization of hate. It starts with the Jews, but we see what's going on in Europe. And it's taking over their countries. You can't sit and go, woe to me. You have to be proactive.
We've seen the anti-Semitic attacks increase. We just brought you to Bondi Beach in Australia. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation has this. The Australia's Domestic Intelligence Agency, ASIO, examined one of the Bondi Beach gunmen 6 years ago over his close ties to a Sydney-based Islamic State, IS, terrorism cell. Two IS flags were found in their car at Bondi Beach, according to senior officials speaking on condition of anonymity. Now, the Wall Street Journal adds this. Australia's complacency and the Bondi Beach shooting. The pattern is familiar. Elites hesitate to name anti-Semitism clearly for fear of inflaming tensions, only to discover that ambiguity emboldens extremists rather than restraining them. The result isn't social peace, but a slow erosion of the norms that make peaceful pluralism possible in the first place. With that, let's bring in our panel, Fox News political analyst Guy Benson, Axios political reporter Steph Kite, and Fox News media analyst Howard Kurtz. Guy, Wall Street Journal get it right there?
Absolutely right. And I think back to waking up on New Year's Day of this year to the horror of an ISIS-inspired terrorist attack in this country, in New Orleans. And here we are closing out the year with yet another apparently ISIS-inspired attack, this time on the other side of the world. And for people who have been chanting, including in this country, things like globalize the intifada for the last 2 years, this is what that looks like in practice. And for many of those people, they've spent the same period of time trying to turn Zionism into a slur, when in fact these attacks on Jews, in my estimation, make the moral case for a Jewish state armed to the teeth.
You know, Steph, you heard the Israeli Prime Minister and very getting forceful in that Q&A with reporters. The Executive Council on Australian Jewry report on anti-Jewish incidents put out the annual number of incidents. Look at this, 2022, 478. You see it climb in 23, 24 at 2062, and 25 at 1654. Clearly, there is an issue in Australia.
There is. I mean, those data points are so sad to see, and this is clearly not, you know, a one-off case. This comes in a context of increased anti-Semitism, not only in Australia, but around the world. And it was led to this tragic moment. And, you know, my heart goes out to all the people who are mourning loved ones right now. And as we continue to get to the bottom of what, of how this happened. But it's clear this is a broader issue. And I think it is good to hear Australian officials now being very clear with their statements that this was an anti-Semitic attack.
Yeah, and the interesting part of this story, Howie, is this hero, Ahmed Al-Ahmed. He disarms one of the Bondi shooters, and he said that despite the immense pain he's in, he does not regret lunging at the gunman. Take a look at that, and we saw this video over the weekend. He's a Muslim, arrived in Australia in 2006 from Syria, but felt like he had to get into action.
Kudos to him. What an act of bravery, and probably saved a lot of lives. You know, it's been 7 years, Brett, since the Pittsburgh Tree of Life massacre at the synagogue there, and a lot of people said, well, you know, America, it's a wash in guns. Well, Australia has some of the toughest gun control measures in the world, and yet we have this tragedy. You can't legislate against this kind of vile anti-Semitic hatred that seems to be rising around the world, and that some people have tried to justify by saying, well, the war on Gaza stirred a lot of this up. President Trump actually, you know, has come up with a fragile ceasefire in that region, and yet this kind of hatred continues to rise around the world. So deeply troubling.
Now, as we go to Syria, Guy, take a look at this map. There's the army is naming two of the Iowa Guard members killed in this attack in Syria. Clearly, they are ISIS on the rise. The president talked about that and how they're going to pay for it. But you're seeing more of these targeted attacks.
Yeah, and here we are, we're talking about ISIS again. That's a common denominator here. The United States of America, Australia, Syria, vastly different places all over the globe with one common refrain. And whether it's specifically ISIS or this radical Islamism, it is a scourge. It is extremely dangerous, and people are going to take it seriously, or people are going to continue to die. And I think President Trump, quite rightly, furious about the taking, the stealing of two of our soldiers' lives in Syria by ISIS and vowing repercussions. I hope those come swiftly.
Howie, I know on this other story, Rob Reiner and his wife being killed in their home in Los Angeles, you have interviewed Rob Reiner before.
Yeah, and I got to know him a little bit, and he, you know, tremendously successful movie actor, director, son of the comedy legend Carl Reiner, and yet there was an everyman quality about him. He hung out at the same Santa Monica restaurants that everybody else did, and he was a mensch, and he spoke out and denounced the murder of Charlie Kirk and had very gracious things to say about his widow, Erica. Now, there's no secret. I sparred with him about this on the air in the first term that Rob Reiner was a very liberal Democrat who had very strong criticism of President Trump. And yet, I have to say that for the President of the United States to take this family tragedy in which both Reiner and his wife were killed and say that it's because of Trump deranged syndrome, I thought was well beneath him and beneath the office, and I think it would have been better if the president had made no comment.
Guy, meantime, there are Trump supporters out posting criticism. Robbie Starbuck, he's a conservative a supporter of the president. What happened to Rob Reiner and his wife was a savage butchering of two human lives. They don't care what their politics were or how they felt about Trump. No law-abiding human deserves this. We should pray for and send condolences to his loved ones and not make it political. Here's Senator John Kennedy.
I don't think the president should have commented. When the president says this kind of stuff, it detracts from his policy achievements and from his agenda.
So he's getting pushback, Guy.
As he should. There's a time and a place for politics and for trolling. A man being viciously murdered along with his wife, allegedly at the hand of their own son, is not that time or that place. And for the president to have put this out the way that he did achieves nothing and reflects poorly.
We are a state that chooses not to let people go hungry or homeless or uneducated. However, that generosity has been taken advantage of by an organized group of fraudsters and criminals.
They were just making up these PDFs, putting false names into Excel sheets, I could do that in 5 minutes on a computer. On the Democrat side, they're just trying to deflect and say it's not a big deal. And it's absolute hogwash. I mean, Tim Walz didn't do enough.
So that's reaction from Minnesota Democratic Governor Tim Walz and a former federal prosecutor who served nearly 4 years in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Minneapolis. He briefly worked on the Feeding Our Future case, a part of that massive fraud scandal that has rocked Minnesota in recent weeks. Howie, you look at this chart, payments to Feeding Our Future. Again, this is one part of this, and it's $1 billion. But look at 2020 hits, and suddenly the payments go up exponentially. And it's to offices that don't exist. It's kind of hiding in plain sight. As you dig deeper into this, it's a massive scandal.
Yeah, and it's been building for years. And nice words from Tim Walz, but this happened on his watch. And been all these guilty pleas, about $1 billion. And can you think of anything lower than stealing money meant to feed hungry children and provide autism services that were never provided so that grown-up crooks could buy luxury cars and luxury housing? And the worst part of it, Brett, and some officials have said this on the record, is that this mainly happened in the Somali community, and there was a reluctance, according to some, of racial sensitivity. If they cracked down too hard, they'd be accused of racism. But the victims, the services never provided, were the Somali children themselves.
Having talked to a lot of officials, this could be the tip of the iceberg, not just in Minnesota, mm-hmm. but for other states. That's one of the issues as we get ready for this health care renewal or whatever happens with insurance premiums. Panel, thank you.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Fox on Tech.
The Senate Agriculture Committee on Capitol Hill releasing the long-awaited and bipartisan discussion draft for cryptocurrencies. The efforts led by Chair John Boozman, the Republican Senator from Arkansas, and Ranking Member Cory Booker, the Democrat Senator from New Jersey, and would mark major progress toward a comprehensive crypto market structure framework that lawmakers say would make the market safer for the average investor to buy and sell crypto. The draft bill is notable in that it focuses on giving the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, or CFTC, the power to regulate digital asset commodities like Bitcoin, and partially shifting cryptocurrency oversight away from the Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC. Senator Booker sent us a statement saying these are steps to protect consumers, while adding in part, this discussion draft is a first step, and we still have significant work to do before advancing the legislation out of committee and eventually to the Senate floor. With Fox on Tech, Darren Vitello, Fox Business.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A man in Italy accused of dressing up as his mom to collect her pension. The man, whose name hasn't been released by authorities, is the son of Graziella Dall'Olio, who had died in 2022 at the age of 82. Police say the 57-year-old man, who's a former nurse and currently unemployed, did not report her death to authorities. When Dall'Olio's ID expired, the son allegedly put on makeup, a wig, and her clothes to pose as his mother and renew her ID. However, the agent that was processing the application noticed dark hair on the back of his neck and on his chin and tipped off authorities to the alleged crime. Officers then went to the elderly woman's home address and found her mummified body in the laundry closet room wrapped in sleeping bags. The man is accused of concealing a corpse, fraud against the state, impersonation, and forgery of a public document. He's accused of removing fluids from his mother's body with a syringe to prevent decomposition. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Baltimore Orioles shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., the Iron Man, broke the record for most consecutive games played, 2,131. The record had been held for 56 years before that by Lou Gehrig.
Well, you know, I see myself as someone that was very lucky and had a good career, and I think that I'm pretty good. I mean, I don't put myself all the way down and not think that I've had a pretty significant career. I've enjoyed being in the presence of all the great players and this collection of players. I sat and talked to Henry Aaron a long time and really enjoyed talking to Kirk Gibson and Pete Rose. I just enjoy being in the environment. Maybe when I get older and you start to look back, you have a historical view of your career. But right now, I just see myself as a guy that was lucky enough to play baseball for a long time.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Welcome to Washington. I'm Bret Baier. We're up on Capitol Hill on the Senate side because we will speak in just a matter of moments to the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, about the issues of the day, about health care, affordability, about Venezuela, and other topics. Senator Thune, thanks for the time.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Bret.
The health care question. Right. People are leaving. It's not dealt with. How does it get fixed?
Well, I think the Democrats are going to have to come to the table and realize that a straight extension of Obamacare subsidies is not a sustainable future for the American people. You know, the Democrats talk about affordability. The least affordable thing that the American people have on their, you know, in front of them today is the cost of health care. Because if you're buying your insurance in the Obamacare exchange, since its inception, a little over a decade ago, premiums have gone up 221%. And you look at that same time period, the CPI, the price we pay for everything else has gone up about 39%. So you're looking at multiples, you know, several hundred percent more for health care, and that's not a sustainable future for the American people.
Here's what you said last time we talked, end of September, about this. The premium tax credit issue is something we're willing to have a conversation about, but the fact of the matter is it's rife with waste, fraud, and abuse, needs reform, as I said, but you're willing to work on this issue in particular. You said, yeah, I mean, part of this is the base Obamacare program is not going to be affected. What's going to be affected is the enhancements the Democrats added when they had the majorities, but we're willing to have that conversation. You've got to do that. You can't do that in the context of a hostage-taking situation, which is where we are right now. Did they win the hostage-taking situation as far as the politics here?
Well,
because there's a lot of people that are going to see their health care premiums skyrocket.
Yeah, and they're, and in that marketplace, which represents about 7% of the American people who get their insurance through the Obamacare exchanges, particularly those that are above the 400% poverty level, which is where the Biden COVID bonuses kicked in, yeah, they're seeing some increase. Now, there are other things they can do. They can shift around to different markets. But the fact of the matter is we're open to fixing and addressing this. But you got to do it in a way, Bret, that actually solves the problem and lowers costs. If you stay on this path right now with all the waste, fraud, and abuse, the same thing is true today that I said last September, and that is that there are no income caps, there are $0 premiums, there are literally millions of people in the exchange who don't even know they're covered because the payments go directly from the federal government to the insurance companies. And so people are automatically, they're auto-enrolled by the insurance companies, and there's no accountability in this program. And the Government Accountability Office just did an audit of this program, and of the 20 fake claims they submitted, 19 of them got approved. That's a 95% failure rate. So it's got to be reformed, and we're open to that. And if the Democrats want to work with us, we won't get it done before the Christmas holiday, but when we come back in January, there are discussions that are going on right now. We have folks who are interested in fixing it.
But you have these four Republicans in the House that voted with Democrats to have this vote to extend for 3 years. You're fully against that.
Right. I mean, they will send over to us if they are successful with this discharge petition. It'll come to the Senate. It'll be a straight 3-year extension of an unsustainable, unaffordable program. So, yes, it'll have to be reformed. And there are Senate Democrats who believe that it has to be reformed. And one of the issues behind this, too, is whether or not these policies are going to cover abortion. And that's something that's really important to our
Senate. You talk about the percentage, but, I mean, you're still talking about 22 million people that will be affected here. That's a lot of constituents and a lot of races that you're going to be facing in 26. Our polls, concerned about price of health care, 86%, yes. Mm-hmm. I know you say you want to fix it, and there are bipartisan plans to try to do that, but you got to get across the finish line.
We do, but just to be clear, because 400% poverty and under, which if for a family of four in this country is $128,000, that's the base Obamacare program. That stays in place. It's above that, and they took the income caps off. So now you got people making $500,000, $600,000 a year that are getting subsidies, you know, from the taxpayers to cover their insurance costs. That's the universe that's affected, and that's about 1.6 million people. So there are 1.6 million of the 24 million people who are actually going to see significant increases if they stay in that market. If they move around and find insurance other places, that can change. You can move to a bronze plan instead of a silver plan. There are lots of options that are available. But I'm one who believes that we ought to do everything we can to drive health care costs down. We did vote on a bill in the Senate last week that, according to the Congressional Budget Office, would reduce health insurance premiums by about double digits, 10 to 11%. And the Democrats block voted against it. There's a path here, if you want to fix this, with reforms that move us to a better program, which along the lines of what President Trump has proposed, and that is quit, you know, putting the money in the pockets of the insurance companies and get it back in the hands of the American people.
This comes amid the affordability debate, which Democrats are clearly signaling is going to be their issue in 26, at least right now. The president keeps saying that prices are going down and down. Do you think that rhetoric is the right rhetoric now until Americans really feel it?
And I think they will feel it. And I think the president, what he's reflecting on is how we got here. And he inherited this mess, the Biden administration, with, you know, all the spending that they did, trillions and trillions of dollars of spending, which flooded our economy with more dollars, which drove inflation up. So you were seeing double-digit inflation in this country for the first time literally in almost 50 years. And that's what President Trump had to come in and fix. And so I think he's just reflecting on how we got to this place, how we got here in the first place. But he is committed, and so are we, to fixing it. And I think those steps that we took last summer, you're going to start to see that, and the American people are going to start to feel that. When you start seeing the impact of what we did on taxes and regulations and energy, and you're already seeing the cost of gasoline going down, you're going to see that in other areas. It'll kick in. It will. And I think that, you know, inflation, which, you know, in the month of October was down 2.7%, or down to 2.7%, I should say, came down from what was expected. You're starting to see that already. But I also think you're going to see more growth in the economy because of the policy changes that we made. And when the economy is growing and expanding, it's throwing off better paying jobs. People are doing better. And I think what we're going to see in 2026 is safer streets. You're going to see more money in people's pockets, and you're going to see new opportunities to get ahead for the American people.
Look at the U.S. naval assets in the Caribbean right now. It's massive. We are still taking out, as a country, these Venezuelan drug boats. And there's pushback here on Capitol Hill from some Republicans, a lot of Democrats. Where are you on this policy, and do you think we are going to go to war in Venezuela?
Well, I think that what the president and his team have mapped out is a strategy to shut down the drug trade. And these cartels, which are designated terrorist organizations, the president has authority as commander-in-chief to go after these folks. They are killing literally tens of thousands of people in this country every year. And it's high time we did something about it. So I think the president is achieving the policy prescription that he put forward, which is peace through strength. And that applies not only other places around the world where we've got hot spots, but right here in our own hemisphere. And so I think it's the things that the president has done are having the desired effect. You're starting to see the number of these cartel, this activity. They're going to have to shift modes to get things into this country because they have, for all intents and purposes, have been shut down. And that's the desired effect. It's getting these poisonous drugs out of this country and keep them from killing literally every year tens of thousands of Americans.
You don't think this is about oil? It's about drugs.
I think it's about drugs, and obviously there's energy component in everything in this day and age. But you know, obviously this is a regime that is corrupt, and frankly, the best thing the people of Venezuela could do is elect themselves a new leader, and they've tried, but it's a corrupt system.
You think Maduro takes the golden parachute and gets out somehow?
Well, it seems to me if I were him, that would make sense. I would not want to have the President of the United States or the might of the U.S. military staring me in the face, and I think that's where he is right now.
News talk.
American playwright Tennessee Williams, who grew up in the Deep South, died in 1983. He won the Pulitzer Prize for drama for A Streetcar Named Desire in 1948 and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof in 1955. Here, Tennessee Williams explains where he gets the inspiration for his character development.
I have always been more interested in my own kind of people, you know, people that have problems, people that have to fight for their reason, you know, the people that to whom, you know, the impact of life and experience from day to day, night to night is difficult, and people who come close to cracking and all that. That's my world. Those are my people. And I must write about the people I know.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the Audio Archives of Fox News Talk.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network,
this is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcast.com. Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On March 5th, 1946, Sir Winston Churchill gave his famous Iron Curtain speech at Westminster College in Missouri. The speech was deemed by many to mark the onset of the Cold War.
From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe. All these famous cities and the populations around them lie in what I must call the Soviet sphere. And all our subjects, in one form or another, not only to Soviet influence, but to a very high and in some cases increasing measure of control from Moscow. This is certainly not the liberated Europe we fought to build up.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A preemie baby from New York who was in the NICU for 146 days and finally got to go home makes today's Dean's List. Trinity Alexandria Rose Taylor weighed just 1 pound 14 ounces when she was born at 26 weeks. Doctors called her a micro preemie and a miracle. She faced big challenges with her underdeveloped lung, her heart, and eyesight, but was a fighter every single day. Her parents, Letitia Morris and David Taylor, say her survival is a miracle. The NICU was a second home for Trinity's family, giving her critical care, monitoring, and saying many prayers. And finally, when she was able to go home, the hospital made sure it was a day to remember. Doctors, nurses, and staff all lined the hallways, clapping and cheering as Trinity and her family walked the red carpet. She weighed over 11 pounds when she went home and will now just return for regular checkups going forward. Janice Dean, Fox News.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Let me ask you about next year. Currently, the Senate balance of power, 53-47. You have GOP senators not seeking re-election. Mitch McConnell, Joni Ernst, Tom Tillis, Tommy Tuberville. You have Democrats not seeking re-election as well, four of them. Where do you look at the map as you head into 2026, considering what you're projecting? But as you look at the map for the Senate, how do you see it?
Well, I feel good about where we are. I mean, obviously we've had some retirements, but we've got really good candidates in some of those states. Our incumbents who are running for re-election are strong incumbents. They're veterans. They know how to win campaigns. And we've got some open seats that present an opportunity for us to pick up a seat or two. So the way I look at it, Brett, is, you know, our job is to preserve and protect the Republican majority in the Senate. And if possible, where we have some opportunities to expand it. Now, it's a midterm election. Typically, there are headwinds in a midterm election, but I think, like I said, when a lot of the effects of some of the things that we've done start playing out in front of the American people, they're going to say this is a team we want to keep in place. President Trump obviously will be very important to getting voters out. His voters come out to support him, sometimes don't come out in a midterm election, so he'll be key to ensuring that we have strong turnout. But we've got quality candidates, I think a record of accomplishment to run on, and we need to have resources to get the message out, and then we got to be really focused on the ground game, and that is turning the voters out.
But you think it might be tight majorities if Republicans do win?
It could be. I mean, you know, obviously the House is certainly incredibly tight already, and ours is a fairly tight majority as well. And but how these, you know, some of these open seats, North Carolina is a really good example, will be a very expensive race. But if we do well in North Carolina, we're going to do well across the country.
A couple of quick ones. The president signing this executive order easing restrictions on marijuana for research gets some pushback in some corners of the Republican caucus. Where are you?
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan of recreational marijuana. I think it is a gateway. I think it has some really bad effects, particularly on young people in this country. I think what the president's doing here is trying to expand the possibility for medicinal use and research, and there's particular applications, I think, when it comes to our veteran population that he's trying to address. But I think that he recognizes, just like many of us do, that's where it ought to be confined. And I think just opening up the gates to marijuana use across this country, in my view, would be a huge mistake.
When you look at, last thing, the policies that came out of everything you all passed up here on Capitol Hill, of everything the president did in executive orders, there's a lot of Republicans who look at that and say, we're on board. Policy. When things are talked about how the president talks about different things, sometimes it doesn't sit well with some members of the Republican caucus or independents, definitely not Democrats. How do you deal with that? How do you characterize that? You've dealt with, obviously, President Trump for many years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're different styles, I think it's safe to say. The president has his own way of communicating. And it's been very successful and effective for him. He won a huge election this last fall. The American people believed in the his agenda, the message he was carrying out there, and the things that he's done to deliver on that. So I think he's got an incredibly loyal base of support. The people in the middle, those independents that are what I call the middle of the electorate, which decides elections, especially some of these competitive elections in states where you've got, it's sort of, we don't call them purple states, whatever you want to call them. Sometimes how you say things matters. And obviously, I think as we get into this election year, I expect the president to be out on the trail and communicating in a way that is winsome, not just to our Republican base, the people who already love him, but also to the middle of the electorate, the people that we're trying to win over. And I think the best way to win them over is with his policies, which I think are going to make big differences in their lives.
Senator Thune, when you look at the polls about congressional performance, they are really upside down.
Right.
And it's often like that. People don't get a sense of everything that's happening up here. But how do you change 36% approval?
I think that part of it is putting up a record of accomplishment and then getting out and talking about it. The one thing that I don't think we've done effectively yet, and we will because this is an election year coming up in 2026, is get out there and talk about the things we've done. And as I said, the message gets out there and people start feeling in their pocketbooks the impact of a lot of these policies. I think most people are what I would call pocketbook voters. They're kitchen table, just bread and butter type issues that they care about. And I think you're going to start seeing the impact of the things that we've done in their daily lives. I think that'll start moving people in our direction when it comes to choice, the contrast between us and the Democrats. But how do you make us more likable? I mean, it's been said that Congress, when you get down to where we are now, it's kind of paid staff and blood relatives, and that might be about the size of it. But I think part of it, too, is we're coming off a 43-day government shutdown.
Right.
Nobody benefited from that. And everybody looks at Congress, both sides, Republican and Democrat, says, why can't you guys figure this out? Now, in my view, they should be blaming the Democrats because they're the ones who shut the government down for 43 days. But the fact is the American people look at Congress and I think it's a pox on all of us. So I think that's perhaps had some impact on these ratings that you're seeing. And it's up to us to try and change that by getting out and putting up a record of accomplishment.
I totally agree. When I talk to people out there, they say, what is this? This is why I hate Washington.
Yeah.
Here's what you said about the government shutdown September when we talked. We are Republicans United, House Republicans, Senate Republicans, President Trump. House Republicans have passed a short-term funding resolution that's clean, nonpartisan, came over to the Senate, sitting at the desk of the Senate. In Chuck Schumer's universe, we didn't do appropriations bills. It was all written behind closed doors in his office, and now he's upset because he isn't being consulted on everything because we're doing things the way we should be doing them, allowing Republican senators and Democratic senators to work together to pass those bills. It sounded optimistic then. Obviously, went into 43 days of this shutdown.
Yeah.
Are we going to finish this cycle of going up against the fiscal cliff? Are we eventually going to see Congress go back to so-called regular order?
I hope so. And I had a conversation with Senator Schumer earlier today on that very subject because we are up against another funding deadline. I don't think anybody wins in a government shutdown. I think shutdowns are stupid. And I think that's a view that President Trump shares as well, is why it was so unfortunate. But I think what the Democrats discovered, because we've been through this a couple of times since I've been here and on our side, is that it's a lot easier to get into a government shutdown than it is to get out of it. And so when they slid into this thing, and then all their special interest groups on the far left were cheering them on, and it becomes a lot harder. Frankly, it's good that there were a handful of Democrats who had the good sense to say, we need to end this. And unfortunately, we did. But it lasted way too long, and now we're up against another funding deadline. But my sense is, Brett, that there is enough PTSD, if you will, in both Republicans and Democrats about just the consequences and the toxic nature of government shutdowns. And I'm hoping that that's going to work to getting both sides to come together on the basic things. And we're going to disagree on a lot of stuff. And you talked about healthcare, very different visions there. But when it comes to funding the government, those are basic things that the American people expect that we ought to be able to do and we ought to be able to work together. And I'm hopeful that's going to be the case.
Last thing on Ukraine. President Zelensky is saying he would like the U.S. to move from mediation talks to pressuring Moscow. Do you agree?
You know, I do share that view. I'm very sympathetic to the president, his team, to Secretary Rubio, Secretary Hegseth, and others who are on the front lines of a lot of these discussions and negotiations. But I think anything that we can put in the president's toolbox that gives him additional leverage in dealing with the Russians is a good thing. And there are a couple of bills that have been hanging around up here for a while, one on Russia sanctions. It's a bill that Lindsey Graham and others have put out. It's got like 85 co-sponsors in the Senate, Democrat and Republican. As soon as the president and his team feel like that's a useful tool for them, we're anxious to move on it. But I just think you want to have as many tools as you can at your disposal. When you're dealing with leaders like Vladimir Putin, who understands nothing but strength, you have to project strength. And I think the peace through strength approach the president's taken all around the world is paying huge dividends. The jury is still out in Russia and Ukraine. But I'm hopeful there that his approach to this is going to be something that ultimately gets us to a peaceful outcome.
Zevi, thank you.
Thanks, Brett.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and tariffs could cause inflation to make a devastating comeback. Are you ready for what more 2025 could bring? Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax-free and penalty-free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 Gold and Silver Kit from my partners at the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Help secure your future today. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Raise a glass, America. Introducing the Fox News Wine Shop, featuring award-winning wines from the coast to the heartland at a range of prices delivered direct to your door. So don't wait. Go to foxnewswineshop.com and use code FNRadio20 for 20% off your first purchase of 6 bottles or more. Go to foxnewswineshop.com now. Offer expires at midnight on December 31st, 2025. 20% discount excludes wine club offers and cannot be combined with any other promotion. Must be 21 or older to order. Please drink responsibly.
The Fox Nation holiday sale is happening now.
Merry Christmas to one and all!
And we're unwrapping our final sale of the year.
There's only one thing in my life now that really matters.
Fox Nation for just $2.99 a month. Sign up today and start streaming season 2 of Fox Nation's exclusive series, Martin Scorsese Presents The Saints.
People came to me from out of the darkness, and they cried out for God's love.
Patrick, now it is time for you to return home.
Get Fox Nation for only $2.99 a month. Go to foxnation.com and sign up today.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio. Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
I'm pleased to announce that I will be signing an executive order to reschedule marijuana from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3 controlled substance with legitimate medical uses. This reclassification order will make it far easier to conduct marijuana-related medical research, allowing us to study benefits, potential dangers, and future treatments.
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan of recreational marijuana. I think it is a gateway. I think it has some really bad effects, particularly on young people in this country. I think what the president's doing here is trying to expand the possibility for medicinal use and research, and there's particular applications, I think, when it comes to our veteran population that he's trying to address.
This executive order, a lot of coverage of it about marijuana going from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, but it's not opening the door to recreational on a federal scale. The New York Times describes it this way. Drug policy experts said the most significant consequence would be financial relief for thousands of state-licensed businesses that paid some of the highest federal taxes in the nation because of the drug's federal status. Businesses that grow and sell cannabis, such as farms and dispensaries, are banned from taking common deductions for expenses like rent and payroll. But beyond that, there's a lot of investigating and testing that they're going to do with this new executive order. Let's start there with the panel. Fox News contributor Mark Thiessen, former Republican National Committee Communications Director Douglas High, and Democratic strategist Adrian Elrod. Okay, Mark, digesting this and what it means. There's a lot of reaction on Capitol Hill, but I'm not sure they fully get it.
Yeah. So it does, as you say, it doesn't legalize it, but it does destigmatize it, and it also creates incentives for production and distribution because it takes away the tax and banking disadvantages that marijuana production has. I think the idea of reducing the classification of marijuana at a time when the THC levels have gone up between 400 and 800% is kind of contradictory. And I think the last thing we want to do is continue to destigmatize marijuana. We're trying to reindustrialize the country. You can't operate machinery when you're high. We've got education levels, the national test scores are going down dramatically. You don't want to encourage people using marijuana. It's contrary to what Trump is trying to do.
You know, Senator Chuck Schumer, Adrian, was saying this is not, legalizing, because they see that as a powerful political issue.
Sure.
With young people especially.
Yep.
There's a lot of testing for medical that this opens the door to.
Yeah, look, I mean, you may be shocked to hear this, Brett, but I'm going to give President Trump credit for this. This is something that President Biden said he would do, and he did not. It's going to provide a lot of relief, as you mentioned, to small businesses. And it's something that our country is turning in this direction. I think 38 states right now allow for medical marijuana. So this is something that it feels like a significant majority of people in this country want this, but also it's trending in that direction. So I think it's a smart move, and I think there are some people who want to see it go a little bit further beyond medical marijuana, but this is certainly a step in the right direction.
That could be led to the states, left to the states, mm-hmm. Doug, possibly.
Yeah, look, I think the challenge here for President Trump is there's a lot of mixed messages. So when we've heard Donald Trump talk about what he's doing in Venezuela, he's, I'm stopping the drugs. And so voters are now hearing him say, well, but maybe somewhat different with marijuana. And there has been a destigmatizing of it, and there have been real costs with that. I had lunch today with a friend whose brother is a cop in Chester County, Pennsylvania, and she told me what her brother tells her is the number one drug that they have the biggest issue with isn't fentanyl, isn't cocaine, isn't anything like that. It's marijuana. And we see that certainly on the streets in D.C. And I say that, I understand Donald Trump hasn't decriminalized this for recreational use, but I smelled pot about three blocks from here about 40 minutes ago. And this town is awash with marijuana smoke. New York City is, and more cities are dealing with that as well. It's a real problem, and it goes to a mixed message for Trump here.
Okay, speaking of messaging, there is this naming of the Kennedy Center. The Kennedy Center board, appointed by President Trump, voted to name it the Trump Kennedy Center. Take a listen.
Then you have a big event on Friday at the Trump Kennedy Center. Oh, excuse me, at the Kennedy Center. I was surprised by it. I was honored by it. You know, we're saving the building. We saved the building. The building was in such bad shape, both physically, financially, and every other way.
We'll take a look at it for sure and see where that goes. But, you know, obviously the president is heavily invested in trying to make some of these monuments around Washington, D.C., make this a better place to live.
The White House Press Secretary, Mark, saying that she reported that the most successful people on the board voted unanimously. Obviously, there's a lot of pushback already on Capitol Hill. Where do you think this goes?
And John Thune loved answering your question.
No, he really did.
He's really, really excited really to take this issue on. I mean, look, if you think about this, I write my columns at the end of the year every year, the 10 best things that Donald Trump did, and I can't even contain it to 10. If you think about it, he got the Abbey Gate bomber in 6 weeks. Biden couldn't get him in 3 weeks. He obliterated the Iranian nuclear program. He got NATO to spend, agree to 5% of GDP on defense. He's secured the border. He's got trade deals. I mean, the list goes on and on. Those are serious accomplishments. That's what Trump should be pushing in the media right now. Looking back at a year that's one of the most extraordinary years of any president starting a second term, and instead we're talking about naming something very unserious, which is naming the Kennedy Center after him.
Sometimes I think there's a purpose behind it. That we look at the shiny thing and focus on it so that there's all kinds of other things happening.
I'm looking for that purpose.
What do you make of it, Adrian?
Look, first of all, I'm sort of like, what took him so long to do this? I'm surprised he didn't do this on day two or day three. I mean, I guess we'll see the Senate obviously has to go through a larger approval process, so we'll see, you know, what I saw Majority Leader Thune try to sort of finesse his answer on that. But look, if you are, Brett, I think the bigger picture here is if you are the average American voter who is struggling economically, who is trying to figure out how to put food on the table, how to buy holiday gifts for their children, you know, just trying to make ends meet, and you're seeing Donald Trump tear down the East Wing, rebuild it with tech billionaire money, you know, renaming buildings after him.
Taxpayers aren't paying for that.
Yeah, tech.
Well, no, I understand that, but tech billionaires are paying for that, and that this is money that could arguably go to
victory,
helping people in America who are struggling right now. You're just seeing a president whose priorities are not focused on the American people and the issues that they're facing every single day, and I think that's the challenge for him.
I mean, we'll digest all of the Trump Kennedy Center. I mean, I don't think the Trump Lincoln Memorial is happening anytime soon. But here is Senator Thune on the economic speech.
So when you look at those polls, you say to those constituents, hold on.
Well, I think, you know, yes. I mean, obviously, it takes a little bit of patience. These things take, you know, there's a lag always when you move major legislation, consequential legislation like this for the American people to start to feel it.
What'd you make, Doug, what Senator Thune said about what's coming?
I think that's part of what the economic message from Republicans should be. And often Donald Trump, you raised this earlier about the shiny object. Donald Trump is often a matador. He wears a red cape, and we all follow it. But the message from this White House should be, here's what we're doing to make things more affordable for you. And any day that they're not doing that, and I say this as Donald Trump, somebody who did a very successful campaign event at a McDonald's, we need more of that guy communicating. I don't understand what their strategic imperative was.
And quickly, Mark, you know, hearing Senator Thune go down the numbers on the health care stuff, it is interesting when you break down who's affected here and what that looks like.
So actually, so he said there's 7% of people who are getting Obamacare subsidies, but the people who are at above 400% of the federal poverty line is about 7% of that. So it's a very small number of people who are affected by this. The Obamacare subsidies aren't going anywhere. It's the upsell under the Biden Affordable Care Act.
Many more days to talk about this. Panel, thanks.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186.
Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau, call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
The holidays are here, and that means family, friends, and heartwarming homemade flavors. Celebrate the season at Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room. With bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. While they play, you can relax with happy hour daily from 3 to 6, or pour your favorite brew from our self-serve beer wall featuring dozens of local and craft options. And don't forget the perfect stocking stuffer. Buy a $50 Charlu's gift card and get an extra $10 free. The gift of homemade flavor, family fun, and unforgettable memories. Visit charlus.com for details, or stop by on Highway 273 in Anderson. Charlu's Tap House, where good times, great flavor, and family traditions come together for the holidays.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.